All right, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark. In this show, we are going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. Today is Monday, August 22nd, and stocks are lower again today. So they already moved lower on Friday. So is the rally over? This week's focus will be the annual Fed meeting and Powell's comments on Friday. Earnings season is winding down, but NVIDIA is reporting earnings this week. And as you know, I do have an NVIDIA position. So what should I do with it? We'll take a look at this today. The VIX is at its highest level for the month. And Tesla's 3-to-1 stock split goes in effect on Thursday. We'll also show you our positions and how we are trading these markets. So as you can see, there's a lot to talk about. So let's get started. But before we do, if this is your first time here, hi, I'm Marcus Heidkotter. This super smart guy over there is my head coach, Mark Hodge. And we are real traders who trade live accounts, and we got a shit ton of trading experience. And we're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. And trust me, we know our stuff, and we're not afraid to tell it like it is. So if you're looking for some honest insight into the world of trading, you are in the right place. Talking about honest insight, I mean, Mark, the markets are really, they're dropping. So is the rally over? Are we having a new crash right now? What's happening? The S&P today, right now, down 1.83%.
It's over, Marcus. It's over.
It's all over.
I mean, you know, truth be told, four-week win streak, four winning weeks. It was broken last week, so we did finish lower on Friday. And you see that there's a little follow through now this morning. So this is a decent drop, but we've talked about this before. And within the recent move, a pullback here is healthy. So this is not a concern. This is to be expected because we moved higher so quick.
Right. And if you look at it, where we are from this move here, we're only down 3.3%. We talked about it. A 5% drop would actually be okay and actually healthy. So dropping down to the 41 level, we talked about it last week, that would actually be good. And I'm not too concerned if we go to the 4100 level. If we pull back more, so let's just take a look at this and let's go to the 0.5 level. So this would be at 3,977, so around the 4,000. Then I would say, yeah, okay, let's reevaluate things. But for now, there's also nothing really fueling this drop today.
Yeah, it seems a little buy the rumor, sell the news, right? You've had this run up during earnings season. Earnings season is basically come to an end. And you have some key data, you know, behind us now. And so traders are looking for something, some excuse. The biggie this week is going to be Friday. So not a whole lot going on until then.
Yeah, let's bring up the economic calendar. And this were, well, tomorrow, the flash manufacturing PMI, that could actually have an impact on the market. Because again, it's telling us how well are we doing in the economy. And thus far, all the reports that have come out this month in August were pointing to a still strong economy. But then, yeah, I said the big one is actually Fed Chair Powell speaking, because the Fed, they have their annual meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Yeah, central bankers will meet. I think it starts Thursday, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But Fed Chair Powell's scheduled to speak on Friday at 10 a.m. Core PCE price index is something that the Fed also looks at. Let's put it this way. I think Friday is a bigger day for the markets. And yeah, Tuesday, there's a red flag report. But traders are expecting that Powell will be a little more aggressive with his comments compared to, you know, how he was towards the end of July.
Yeah, and this is where the question is, okay, what will the Fed do in 30 days at the next Fed meeting? Will they raise interest rates by half a percentage point, which right now the probabilities stand at 45.5%, or 0.75%? And the probabilities are 54.50. And I mean, this is like a teeter-totter. I mean, it's going back and forth, right?
It's kind of funny here because 30 days in the market is an eternity. And here, you know, it was 65-35 flip-flopping, and now the 75 basis point prediction does have the edge, and we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And if you compare it and see what happened on Friday. So Friday, it was exactly the opposite. So this is where there was a 53% probability of a 0.5% hike and a 47%. So, I mean, it's really flip-flopping back and forth. So, I mean, this is where right now, okay, there's some uncertainty in the market. The VIX is actually at the highest level for the month. I mean, we haven't been at this level since August 2nd. So that's interesting. It just shows that there's uncertainty because that's fear index here. And it shows whether market participants are confident or whether there's some uncertainty. And we definitely see some uncertainty here today.
True. I mean, that's a decent jump. And it's that follow through, right? So quiet last week and then a sell off on Friday. And then, yeah, this follow through. So traders are you're getting better premium in options because of that uncertainty. Traders are expecting that there will be bigger price fluctuations because of fear and uncertainty. And VIX is moving higher for sure.
Yeah. So let's take a look at our positions here. And I actually want to start with, let's move this, and then we'll take a look at what popped up on the scanner today. So I want to start with TPR first and then talk about NVIDIA. So TPR, I did sell the 38 call and it expired worthless on Friday. So I still have my position of 2,700 shares at $37. So we'll see. Right now trading at 35.63, I might be able to sell some more calls, maybe tomorrow when we have a rebound in the market. We'll see, but that's what I'm looking for. So TPR, over the past couple of weeks, have been really good and collected a lot of premium here against the existing position. So that was good. I think the last premium that I collected last week was $1,350.
Not too shabby.
All right, NVIDIA. Okay, so NVIDIA down again today with the overall market. So I got assigned 600 shares at 195. Sold over the past couple of weeks, several times I sold calls. And so it has been really, really great. Even right now, I've still sold a call at 200, looking to buy it back right now as we are moving lower. So buying it back with a profit. But here's the big deal. NVIDIA is reporting earnings in 2 days. So let's analyze it and let's talk about it. Should I actually close the position right now? Because I am still profitable on the position. My break even is right here around $172. So I could do this. And this is where I like to look at the earnings analyzer and see of what has happened here over the last 20 quarters. Because that's really a game changer, right, Mark?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're liking this. So here we see, okay, so we have earnings in 2 days after the market confirmed, and we see the price move reaction probability on the seventh day after earnings were reported. So we see that 60% of the time over the last, 20 quarters, NVIDIA was trading higher, 40% of the time lower. And I like to see, okay, well, what happened here? So, I mean, we were up after the last report, 15%, down 8% before this, up 4%, 16%, 12%, 11%. So this basically tells me that it would be possible, just looking here at the last, 10, 12 quarters, the last 3 years, that it would be possible for NVIDIA to drop 10%, but that there's also a good chance that we might see a 15% jump. So what do you think about it when you see these numbers? Should I close the position?
I would say that based on what we've seen recently, it would make sense to hold it. And Marcus, show the recent quarters, adjust it from max to 10.
Yeah.
Right. So you see there, if you adjust it to 10, it's up 60% of the time, but up almost 9% compared to being down 6. So you're outpaced on those gains, and I think that there's a decent shot that it can rally based on what we've seen historically, or at least not have a major, significant drop.
Right. So let's think about it. So we're talking about a possible 10% drop. So a 10% drop from $170 would get us down to $153, somewhere around here, not even at the lows that we did make a few. So even if we have a 10% drop, I'm comfortable with it. And this is where I think it's important for you as a trader that you say, okay, so let's take a look at the data that we have and let's see what if it happens? What if it drops 10 or 11% or 8%? Am I comfortable if we are going down here? Let me switch back to this view to 153, 152? Or is this where you're in a world of pain and looking at the ceiling at night and can't sleep? I'm absolutely okay with this. Yeah, and if we go to the upside, if we take the 10% move to the upside, well, perfect. That's exactly where we are back to where I got assigned. So this is why I'm okay with that. And it's every trader's choice, right, Mark?
Yeah, and didn't NVIDIA, they've announced that they're expecting lower than expected numbers, or they reduced their forecast. So it almost seems like they're kind of setting themselves up to do better, right?
Right. The important thing is that we have the data. We are not guessing. We are looking at data. And based on the data, we are making an informed decision. This is why it is so important when we introduced this a few releases ago. I think this is a game changer, because otherwise you would be sitting there and saying, okay, what do I do into earnings? Should I hold it? What can I expect? And this way you can prepare yourself, because you know what has happened over the past 10 quarters, over the past 20 quarters, if you want to take a look at this, and therefore you have a much better way of making an informed decision.
It's kind of like in sports, Marcus. If a team is, you know, 7-3, so they've won 7 games and they've lost 3, and you're going into that next game, is there a better chance that they're going to win compared to a team that's 0-10, right? It's the same thing. Just like if a team has lost 10 games straight, do you think they're going to win that next game? Sure, anything can happen. Anything can happen. But I would be betting that, hey, we're probably going to see another loss, so it might make sense to move on.
Right. All right. So this morning, with the markets being down, we had a lot popping up on the wheel scanner. So there was a lot to look through. We flagged quite a few as no, but there were a few that we were looking at. And I want to just use one example, the discussion APA, and I believe that also earlier we had Halliburton on there, and how we compare two different stocks that are from the same industry. Because if you're looking at APA, so it's energy, oil, and gas, and we can actually add this to the asset correlation, and then with APA, I don't have PFE anymore, so APA also add Halliburton, and we see, oh my gosh, these two are pretty highly correlated. So they have a correlation of 0.79, which means that they pretty much move together. No surprise, they're both energy, oil and gas. Halliburton is a little bit more oil and gas equipment services, but I still consider it the same industry, Mark. Would you agree?
Yeah, and that's why the asset correlation tool is so important, because you might look at what they do and think, oh, they're different, right? Sure, they're different companies, but if they move together, it doesn't matter, because we don't want, you know, the portfolio to basically move in the exact same way.
Right. So now if you want to compare these, let's actually take a look, and Halliburton dropped off the scanner, but let's just see if the strike price is still there. Yeah, it's actually not bad at all. So Halliburton, a strike price of 27, APA, looking at a strike price of 32, which I think is also pretty decent. So how do we decide which of these companies is the stronger candidate? Since we won't trade both, we only would trade one if we were interested at all. And that's where we look at the fundamentals data, right? So let's bring this up for APA. And then I also want to bring up the fundamentals for Halliburton. And there's not too many things that we are looking at, because we're mainly looking here at the PE ratio, at the dividend yield, and then we're looking at the income statement over the last few quarters and over the last few years. And that's what we see here with Halliburton.
Yeah, so, and so with the quarterly on Halliburton, you see that, okay, we're positive. We had a decent 2021, but we're falling a little bit. But then we look at the annual numbers, and it's kind of all over the place.
Yeah, annually, we see that Halliburton has actually declined in revenue over the past 2 years. And 2020, not too surprising there. I mean, this is when we had the pandemic. So let's compare this to APA. Again, low PE ratio, low dividend yield, quarterly looking good. And here, we're looking at the annual. And I mean, this is even worse. I mean, look at this. I mean, the revenue is good, but here, huge loss in 2019 and 2020.
Yeah, and so that makes me wonder, gosh, because again, going into an environment where we have higher inflation, higher interest rates, if a company is not profitable, they're going to struggle more than a company that is profitable that might need to make some adjustments. Marcus, do you want to throw another one in the mix here?
Sure.
PSX.
Okay, let's bring up PSX.
Because this was another one that we were looking at.
Right. So Phillips 66 here right now, a much, much higher strike price. When we were looking at earlier, the strike price was much lower towards 80. So right now, based on the strike price, I wouldn't take it. But it's a good example to just compare these companies who are all in the same industry. Because if you're going back here and adding this, to the asset correlation, we see that, 0.75. So all of these three companies, APA, Halliburton, and PSX, are very highly correlated. So again, what are we looking at here?
Well, nice dividend yield, low PE ratio. And if we look at quarterly numbers on PSX, they're hanging in there. They had a negative, or no, they're positive each quarter, sorry.
Right.
And then annually, we see that they had a negative 2020, which again, during the pandemic, I think that could be expected for many companies. Not everybody was a pandemic winner, and right. That should be understood. But now you see that they have net income 4 out of 5 years, positive.
Right. And again, 2020, special year, we won't count this. I mean, especially if you're in oil and gas and the travel industry is shutting down and nobody's leaving the house anymore. No surprise that you have lower revenue here because of the pandemic. And if you compare now PSX with Halliburton, where I think still strong, even though declining revenue, and APA, I mean, just based on this, I would say that PSX is the strongest. Because the thing is, when you're trading the wheel strategy, you have to ask yourself two things. Number one, do you want to own the stock? Are you okay if you're getting assigned and this stock is now in your portfolio? And number two, do you want to do this at the strike price? And looking at the fundamentals here and just looking at some very basic, I mean, we're not looking at all of this EBITDA and all of the balance sheet stuff that are there. We're just looking for some basic information. And it's only fairly easy to say that PSX would be the strongest one out of these three.
And I think that's important because sometimes traders, they get confused. They're, you know, how do I go about evaluating a stock that I would want to own? And especially when you have similar stocks popping up on the scanner where the chart might be the same or it's in the same sector, how do we filter it down a notch? And this is exactly how we like to do it.
Yeah. Let me ask you, is this helpful at all as we are running through this and showing you behind the scenes of how we do it? Because if so, give us a like, then we know that we do more of this because we want to do videos here that are beneficial and helpful for you. All right. Well, two more things actually that we need to talk about. The one is Tesla and its stock split. It's splitting again and it's happening on Friday, Mark.
Wow. Well, hey, that could be nice. I would put it around, what, $275, approximately $300 a share.
Yeah, and I mean, Tesla's just split 2 years ago. 2 years ago with 5-1, and now we have another 4-1 split. I mean, that's kind of crazy because without these splits, I mean, Tesla would be what at $5,000 already.
Yeah, I think so. And so on Friday, based on prices, probably around $290. Wheel candidate at that point.
It could be. It could be. So this might be interesting because there's tons of premium in there.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so the two major things for today for you to take away is number one, make sure that you know the fundamentals and that you're okay owning a stock. And the other one is how we analyze earnings. And I actually did a video where I explained this in more detail, and you can take a look right here. This is where, should you trade options during earnings? What happens? And I'll show you how we use the analysis tool in more detail. Take a look at this, and then we'll see you again tomorrow morning.
Training, but